It was a Monday morning, and we'd had a good weekend. I was the youth pastor at this church, and we had taken a group of 30 or 40 teenagers on the Saturday to a local football match. We'd had a good time, and Sunday we had church services and a bunch of activities. It had been a really good weekend. And I went into the office on the Monday morning, and I sat down at my desk, and the phone rang. And I picked up the phone and introduced myself. And then I spent the next 5 minutes with the receiver out about this far as the mother of one of the teenagers kind of let go on me. And she had been informed by her daughter of some events that had happened at the football match. And as she related her perspective on what had happened, it was clear to me that what her daughter had told her bore absolutely no resemblance to what had actually happened, and she had called me to give me a piece of her mind. After about 5 minutes, she came up for air, and I thought I would interject with the truth. That didn't work. I got another 5 minutes, and the conversation quickly ended when she just hung up on me and slammed the phone down. I went away from that phone call fairly discouraged, and I'm guessing that even though she had given me a piece of her mind, I'm pretty sure that she didn't go away thinking what a wonderful day it was either. The question is, how should we respond to disagreements and difficult situations in the church? I want to suggest this morning that our relationships with one another in the church family should be marked by honor. Honor, and perhaps we could use the word respect. We're going to have a look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verses 1 to 16. You might want to turn there. And we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see, at first, we're going to see a general instruction. And then Paul's going to move to a specific situation. And then what I want to do towards the end is wrap up with some practical applications. First of all, Paul instructs Timothy to show honor to all people. Would you read with me? Would you look with me as I read from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." Timothy finds himself in this church at Ephesus, and as we've been going through the series on 1 Timothy, we've seen that there were some problems in the church. There were some false teachers. There were some people who were usurping the authority of the elders. There were difficulties and struggles and tensions in this church at Ephesus. And Timothy was commissioned by the Apostle Paul to perhaps sort some of these things out. And it would have been easy for Timothy perhaps to say, "Well, the Apostle Paul sent me here. Let's fix this. I'm going to bring in my big stick. I'm going to clean house and sort it all out." And I tend to think of myself and perhaps maybe you could think of yourself, how we respond when we're given authority. Sometimes it's easy just to go in and put our foot down and make things happen. And there were some people there that needed correcting. But Paul says to Timothy, don't rebuke them sharply, but rather appeal to them. Even with this authority of the Apostle Paul behind him, Timothy is told not to go in, put his foot down, and rebuke people sharply. We know in other scriptures that there's a time and a place for correction. But Paul tells Timothy, maybe that's not the first option. See, the issue is having the right attitude. I think for Paul, the issue of keeping the relationships was important. You see, he describes to these people as family members. Have the attitude that those older men are to be honored as fathers. The older women are to be honored as mothers. And the younger men and the younger women are to be honored as brothers and sisters. The relationships are to be marked with gentleness and affection and a desire to keep harmony and keep the peace. I can almost imagine the Apostle Paul putting a little footnote next to here saying, see 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. And he gives Timothy a special note in dealing with the younger women. As far as we know, Timothy is a single young man. There are certain dangers and precautions for Timothy in dealing with the younger women. He says to deal with them in all purity. I want to suggest purity in motives and purity in actions. An attitude of honor should mark all of our interactions with each other in the family of God. So Paul gives this general instruction to Timothy as he's working in the church at Ephesus that he is to show honor for all people. Rather than sharply rebuking them, he is to go in and appeal to them as members of the family. And then Paul moves to a specific situation which takes up the rest of our text this morning from verses 3 to 16. Follow along. He says, honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they learn also to be idle, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Paul instructs Timothy in how to care for these older widows. And he says to honor widows who are widows indeed. And we use that word honor as a way of talking about respecting someone. And there is that wider, I guess, theme of respecting someone. But it's more than just tipping your hat to say hello or giving someone your seat on the train. There's something specific going on here too. You see, these older widows who are left alone have no one to care for them, no one to meet their physical needs. And so part of this honoring widows who are widows indeed is providing for their physical support, finances, food, clothing. These older widows have no way of getting an income and supporting themselves. Now, this is not talking about a one-off need where someone is in a sticky situation and needs a bit of help. This is an ongoing support. Verse 9 says that these widows were to be put on a list. There was a list of these people that were provided ongoing support. these older widows were to be the epitome of what a godly woman was. When we look through the list of character qualities, these women are the epitome of a godly woman. Have a look at some of the things it says about them. In verse 9 it says that they should be 60 years old or older. And I guess what I get from that is that considering the perhaps lower life expectancy back then, there probably wouldn't be too many of them. And the ongoing support that would be given to them may not have lasted 30 or 40 years. These were the older women in the fellowship. And it talks about their character. Verse 9 says, the wife of one man. These were women who had proven over the course of their life to be faithful in marriage. It says that they were to have a reputation for good works in verse 10. It says that they've brought up children. They've shown hospitality to strangers. They've washed the saints' feet. We're reminded of how the Lord Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It was a practical need to wash the feet of people who were traveling those dusty roads. We have a picture of a woman who gives herself in serving others. She has, in verse 10, assisted those in distress. And kind of summing it all up, he says, she's devoted herself to every good work. This is an incredible woman. This is a faithful lady of God. And these women were to be highly respected, highly honored for their character and their ministry. I find it really interesting how it talks about honoring these widows who are widows indeed. And then when we get to next week's sermon, verse 17, it talks about the elders who are worthy of double honor. And we get that connection between the financial aspect of supporting those who labor hard at preaching and teaching. And we get the aspect here of physically supporting these godly women. It's also really interesting. I find that this list of qualifications looks really similar in a number of ways to the list of qualifications for elders and deacons that we saw in the earlier chapter. These were incredibly godly women who had lived a life of faithful service. And they are to be highly esteemed, greatly honored. There's some other things that we get from this passage in terms of respect and honor. And the instructions that Paul gives regarding these widows highlight honor and respect in some other situations as well. In verse 4 says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. You see, those widows who had children or grandchildren, it was the responsibility of those children and grandchildren to look after those older women. We see here Paul highlighting the need to respect our parents, respect our grandparents. And not just respect them in words, but respect them in actions, taking care of them in their time of need. Verse 8 gives a serious warning. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Pretty serious words. Why is Paul so serious about those who are not taking care of their parents or their grandparents in the body of Christ? Because by hurting others in the body of Christ, by refusing to help others in the body of Christ, they are showing great disrespect for the very body of Christ. These instructions highlight the need to honor, show respect for parents. There's another thing too. It highlights the need to show honor to the younger widows. We look at this passage and we go, oh, but it seems to get a bit negative on the younger widows. I think there's a positive here. You see, there's a way to honor these younger women. Verse 14, Paul urges them to get married, bear children, keep house. These were the expected normal actions of the day, behaviors of the day. It would be normal for a woman who was younger to get married and have children and keep house. Paul is telling these younger widows, in a sense, to move on with your life. Get about living a normal life as much as and as soon as possible. It's contrasted with this idea of being idle, being lazy. You see, if these younger widows were put on the list and their physical needs were provided for the rest of their life, then they would have learnt to just rely on the handouts. And they would have become idle and lazy and gone from house to house with time on their hands to do these things, to be gossips and busybodies. I also find it really interesting, this phrase, keep house. It's kind of been used at times to give the picture of the little woman who stays at home and sweeps and dusts and cooks and cleans. And the idea behind that word, keep house, is one of ruling and managing. This woman has an important job to do. She's not just the little woman who sits at home dusting and reading magazines. She's a hard worker. These younger widows are encouraged to move on with their life, to work hard, to be industrious, to make something of their life. Paul's instructions here teaches the younger widows to respect and to honor themselves by doing something with their lives rather than becoming lazy. Now, these younger women were to follow the example of these older widows that we've talked about. There's also another aspect of honor. Paul's instructions here highlight the need for honoring the entire body of Christ, the church. Verse 16 says, "If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened." You see, if anyone and everyone who felt they had a need was helped by the church in this way, placed on the list for ongoing support, you could imagine the line up to get on that list would be pretty long. It might be a nice sweet ride to get on that list and not have to worry about working and doing things. But those who have the ability to move on with their life and be industrious and not be a burden to the church should do so. Because if the church is busy financing and resourcing people who could be financing and resourcing themselves, then the church, the body, may lack the necessary resources to help those who are really, really in need. So we show honor for the entire body by, as much as possible, meeting our own needs and helping those who truly are in need. Paul gives Timothy these instructions regarding this specific situation. And it's hard to go, well, how do we apply this today? Because there are different ways today for older people in particular and for unemployed people and different things to get support and help that they need. I don't think we have a list that we put people on to look after them for the rest of their life in this church. I haven't come across that yet. So how do we apply these things? You know, some people take this passage and they see in here an early form of, if you like, paying these women for ministry. Perhaps this group, this list of older widows was like a ladies' ministry group. And these women were supported as they continued to minister amongst the fellowship. As I mentioned, the qualifications to be on this list are pretty high, and compared with the elders and deacons, there's a lot of similarities. We do know that what Paul is describing here is not church-funded retirement planning. It's for a purpose, for those widows who are widows indeed and truly are in great need. But the question really is, what do we take from here? How do we apply this to our fellowship, to our church today? I want to suggest that there's two things that we can specifically apply. The first thing is, I guess in reference to verses 1 and 2, we need to honour one another at all times. We talk about the relationships we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, being part of the body. We need to honour one another at all times. And I want to suggest that we need to give honour to one another in our speech, particularly when we have disagreements. In a group this size, we're not all going to agree. There's going to be disagreements from time to time. But there's a way of handling disagreements that shows honour and respect to one another. We often hear that phrase, I need to give that person a piece of my mind. Well, maybe we should stop. Or maybe not maybe. We should stop. And we should think before we speak. And ask ourselves, how can we approach this person about the difficulty and still honour them and still show them the respect they deserve as my brother or sister? When your teenager gets home from youth group camp and you hear about what happened, before you run to the phone to call Chris, maybe think about how you can honour him for his work amongst the young people in the church. Another phrase that we like to use is, well, can I just respectfully say, and usually what comes next is not that respectful. Maybe we should cut out that phrase and just speak with respect for one another and show honour to one another in the way that we talk. When you think there's a problem, rather than seeing that person as the problem, rather than just assuming the worst, maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. I was thinking about that phrase, the benefit of the doubt. Do you guys use that phrase in America? Okay, good. Because I know we use it in cricket, but you don't play cricket that much over here, so I wasn't sure. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps clarify the situation before you jump in and respectfully say whatever it is that you need to say. And let our speech be seasoned with grace. And let us show honour to one another at all times. That's the first application I want to make. The second one is this. I think we should give great honour, to those older people who have modelled Christ for us. I love being a part of a church where there are older people in the congregation. And my wife and I have always been a part of churches that have had older people in the congregation, and we love it. Something that I have seen and we've noticed at this church amongst those who have older parents is we have seen how you have showed care and concern in those older years for your parents. You have modelled to us what we need to be doing. So I want to suggest some ways that we can give great honour to those older people, even sitting here this morning, who have modelled Christ for us. Perhaps this week you could think of that older person who has modelled Christ for you. Perhaps you could write them a note, just telling them how much you appreciate them, how the example of their life has encouraged you, how much you've appreciated their input. Perhaps you could consider taking some time this week, maybe trying to arrange a visit with one of the older people. Take some time, not necessarily to go and do lots of stuff for them, but to sit and listen to them. Tell their stories. Listen to their wisdom and their faith. Perhaps you know of a need amongst the older people, someone who has a need. Maybe this week you could look at how could you meet their need? How could you provide in some way to meet their needs? You know, as a young person, it's easy to think that older people have got it all together and they know what they're doing and they've sorted themselves out, because we all hope that by the time we're old, we were like that. I think I figured out that older people are people too. And the older I get, the less I think I've got it figured out. We can show great honor and respect. We need to show great honor and respect for those older people who have set a great example for us. You know, for as long as I've known my wife, even before she was my wife, Felicity has enjoyed spending time with older people. It's just something she enjoys doing. And the different churches that we've been to, she's always found some older people and she's spent time visiting them and doing things with them. One thing I've noticed is that although she has gone to visit and tried to show honor and respect and gone to do things for them, she always comes back feeling more blessed than being a blessing. She's been the one trying to give out the honor, but she's always come back the one feeling most blessed. You see, there is real joy and blessing in giving honor to others. We will face difficulties. We will have disagreements. There'll be difficult situations. My prayer for us as a family is that we would be people, that we would be a family that shows honor for all people all the time. Let's pray, shall we? Father, as I think about honoring people, showing honor to others, I guess perhaps it's really about putting others first. We are reminded, even in the example of your son, that he humbled himself on our behalf. He became flesh on our behalf. He died on the cross on our behalf. Showed incredible selflessness. Father, we pray that you would make us a body and make us individuals who know what it is to show honor and respect for one another, particularly in times of disagreement or difficulty. Lord, may we also have the reputation of being a body that takes great care and shows great honor for our older folk. Lord, that they would know that they are greatly admired, greatly esteemed, and greatly appreciated as members of our body, important members of our body. We thank you for them. We give you thanks for the truth in your word that reminds us of how you want us to live. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.